Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Salt Coast North Parish Church. This is part two of a series on Christian lifestyle. Part one was from a personal perspective. I shared with you how I personally try to develop my body, mind and spirit to be the best I can be for the benefit of myself, others who know me and for God. The way I put it was that I have three ambitions in one: to be an athlete, a scholar, and a saint. ASS for short, an ass for Jesus. Well, Jesus came riding on an ass on Palm Sunday, and I see my life as carrying Jesus to the world. I could just as easily have said that my ambition was to be an SAS for Jesus, because I also see myself as a soldier in his Salvation Army. Anyway, welcome to part two of Christian Lifestyle, in which we explore what Jesus teaches us and shows us about living as good Christ ones or Christians. Jesus not only taught a lot of new thinking on how to live well, Jesus lived it out. He's the template, the model, the role model. Christians seek to be more and more Christ-like. Jesus not only tells us how to live, he helps us to live it out. Without him, we could never hope to put his teaching into practice. Many try, but they fail. Eventually, we realize that supernatural skills require supernatural help. But with his help, we can live out supernatural, godly, holy lives. For instance, it is human to hate and seek revenge and to get one over other folk. But it is supernatural to love enemies, pray for persecutors, forgive over and over again, and forget too. Yet some Christians do manage it with Jesus' help. So let's explore Jesus' way of living. I should warn listeners that this program contains some very radical and revolutionary ideas, which to open and searching minds could prove life-changing. You can find most of these teachings in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 to 8. But first, let's start with what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus loves us with unconditional, no strings attached, total, self-sacrificial, eternal, personal love, with the love that will not let us go. He then commands us to love one another as he has loved us. Such love is superhuman. But it does not mean that we should try to whip it up ourselves in imitation of him. There's no chance. He means to be open like a valve, to let his supernatural love flow in us and through us to one another. Here's the Dixie Chicks.
Love that's real, love that's strong.
Jesus said, "Forgive 70 times 7. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if my brother keeps sinning against me, how often should I forgive him? 7 times?" Jesus said, "No, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Wow. In other words, never stop forgiving. Regardless of him, you be a forgiving person. Those forgiven much should be much forgiving. There are basically two ways to live, being unforgiving or being forgiving. We must choose. Here's two songs to reflect the human instinct and this alternative, supernatural, Christ-like attitude.
You took your time to come back this time. The grass has grown under your feet. In your absence, I changed my mind. And someone else is sitting in your
took the blame. I'm walking on eggshells, trying to speak your name. There was something special about our love. How the years have twisted and abused love. But I'm ready to begin. Do you think that we could start again? Feel the spirit breaking in. Forgiveness, forgiveness is the way. Don't you leave it till there's nothing left. Don't you turn your face away. Forgiveness, forgiveness is the way. Your angry silence lingers in the air. There's nobody living in our living room. In the empty spaces, let us build a home. Life is for living, not for being alone. There was something special about our love. How the years have twisted and abused love. But I'm ready to begin. Do you think that we could start again? Feel the spirit breaking in. Forgiveness, forgiveness. away.
That was Alison Moyet, All Cried Out, and Albert Bogle, Offering Forgiveness. Jesus also said, turn the other cheek, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer them your left cheek. He was meaning that in this world where there's tit for tat, cycles of violence, somebody somewhere's got to break it. Somebody takes the hit and then doesn't retaliate. It's the only way to get out of that cycle. Here's the Kingston Trio talking about the Reverend Mr. Black.
He rode easy in the saddle, he was tall and lean, and at first he thought nothing but a streak of mean could make a man look so downright strong. But one look in his eyes and you knowed you was wrong. He was a mountain of a man, and I want you to know he could preach hot hell or freezing snow. He carried a Bible in a canvas sack, and the folks just called him the Reverend Mr. Black. He was poor as a beggar, but he rode like a king. Sometimes in the evening I could hear him sing. I got to walk that lonesome valley. I got to walk it by myself, or nobody else can walk it for me. I got to walk it by myself. If ever I could have thought that this man in black was soft, had any yellow up his back, I gave that notion up the day a lumberjack came in and it wasn't a prey. Yeah, he kicked open the meeting house door and he cussed everybody up and down the floor. And then when things got quiet in the place, he walked up and cussed in the preacher's face. He hit that reverend like the kick of a mule, and to my way of thinking it took a pure fool to turn the other cheek to that lumberjack. Well, that's what he did, the Reverend Mr. Black. He stood like a rock, a man among men. Then he let that lumberjack hit him again. And then with a voice as kind as could be, he cut him down like a big oak tree when he said, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself, for nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. It's been many years since we had to part, and I guess I learned his ways by heart. I can still hear his sermons ring down in the valley where he used to sing. I followed him, yes sir, and I don't regret it. I hope that I'll always be a credit to his memory, because I want you to understand the Reverend Mr. Black was my old man. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself, or nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself.
It's the strong person in a relationship who can take the hit and not retaliate and break that cycle. Jesus also said, we should go the second mile, Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. In his time, Roman soldiers could conscript anybody passing by to carry their luggage. People did it through gritted teeth. Jesus suggested a radically different attitude to life. Don't do things, especially other people's demands, grudgingly, but rather embrace it enthusiastically. Don't be a victim. Take control and become a willing donor. Helping folk is the Christian way of life. I know folk are always making demands and there's always one more mountain to climb, but think of yourself as a mountaineer and start enjoying climbing. It can be fun, you know.
nothing but a man. I try to do the best I can. Sometimes the road is hard to see. Please, Lord, won't you walk along with me?
I always think it's strange when the judge sentences criminals to service in the community as if it was a punishment rather than an ideal. Jesus taught other things. We haven't time to go into all of them, but let me just briefly mention. Jesus said, positively do to other people what you would like other people to do to you. It's called the Golden Rule, Matthew 7, verse 12. Jesus said, when you do good, do it in secret, Matthew 6, verse 1. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't need to swear by heaven or earth. Just be known for your word being honest and true. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's really good advice to never go to bed carrying it overnight. You won't sleep and probably the other person won't sleep. Go and fix it first. One day at a time. I should be playing Lena Martel at this point, I suppose, but it wasn't Lena Martel. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And then there's ask and you shall receive, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and you'll receive. It's as simple as that. Wow. Here's the Wonder Kids. If Jesus had a catchphrase, it would be, fear not. He kept appearing to people saying, don't worry, don't be afraid. There's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, what's going to happen tomorrow. There's so much of that about, but we don't need to be worried. We have a heavenly Father who knows what we need even before we come and ask. So trust him. This is Don Francisco singing, Do Not Be Afraid.
Do not be afraid. I am the first, I am the last. I was dead, but now behold and see. I am alive, and forever I will be. These things are true, as ever truth shall be. The keys of Hades and of death belong to me. I am alive, and forever I will be. Do not I was dead, but now behold and see, I am alive, and forever I will be. These things are true, as ever truth shall be. The keys of Hades and of death belong to me. I am alive, and forever I will be. Do not be afraid. Do not be
And Jesus said, "Don't store up treasures on earth, but set your hearts on things that are above." Matthew 6, verse 19. We say we just live for a brief time, come into the world with little, go out with little, and yet we build bigger and bigger houses and stuff them with more and more things, and then we discover the hard way that the moths get it, or the rust gets it, or one way or another things evaporate on us. The real things that last are the things in our character, so that when we do die and go to heaven, the person ourselves is an experienced, enriched, better character person. Here's Slater Armstrong singing in a haunting kind of way, a haunting kind of thought, "When It's All Been Said and Done."
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will be nothing. Only what I've done love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold and miry clay, making sinners into saints. And I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever. For you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I'll live my life for you.
For further details, see Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 8. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his teaching, his lifestyle, is much more than rules and laws and do's and don'ts, or even principles. Beware of Pharisaic legalism, like my home village code. I call it the yacht club, because you ought to do this, you ought to do that. All the supposed to be's and I beans and so on. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said repeatedly, You have heard that it was said, in other words, in the law of God as given through Moses and recorded in the Old Testament, but I say to you, people ask, who is he to set himself as a great authority? Jesus ignores that and just carries on, but I say to you that there are thought crimes as well as action crimes. You have heard it was said, do not murder, but I say to you, do not even think about it. Don't look daggers. Do not jest, I could kill you sometimes. Jesus spoke of thought crimes, attitude sins, being wrong as well as doing wrong. Wow. Do not commit adultery gets upgraded to do not even look lustfully or think disloyally. Who can live up to that level? Jesus did, and we can too, but only with Jesus' help. The Sermon on the Mount concludes with the words of Jesus inviting us to build our lives on the solid foundation of him and his teaching.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down.
Christian lifestyle is all about loving Jesus, being Christ-like, being Jesus' hands and feet and voice, being an item with Jesus, being Jesus to other people. If we live in tune with Jesus, we live in his wavelength, then we gradually learn to think like him and act like him and generally be like him. We will know what he would like us to do or not do, and we'll have his help to carry it out, and we'll have the moral courage to do it. It's an intimate relationship, but it is the secret of life. Augustine summed it up as, love God and do what you like. So bye for now, and I'll leave you with Dolly Parton and John Daniel.
John Daniel came to town one summer afternoon, wearing dirty work clothes, so everyone presumed he was just another logger from the logging camp nearby. And he was, but there was something different in John Daniel's eyes. John Daniel was a young man, not more than 24, and there was an air about him that one could not ignore. And in spite of callous hands and dirty clothes, his face was kind, and I wanted so to know what was in John Daniel's mind. John Daniel, tell me, where did you come from? Tell me, where is it you've been? John Daniel, tell me, why are you different from all of these other men? John Daniel, there's something about you that I don't quite understand. John Daniel, do you hold the answer to a high plan? I rented him a room. He went upstairs like all the rest. It was Saturday and he'd be going into town, I guessed. But he left in a robe and sandals with a Bible in his hand. And I thought to myself, John Daniel, I don't understand. I'd planned to meet some friends of mine when I got off we often gather to talk of love and peace. When I got there, I found that a crowd had gathered round, and there I saw John Daniel sitting on the ground. John Daniel, tell me, where did you come from? Tell me, where is it you've been? John Daniel, tell me, why are you different from all of these other men? John Daniel, there's something about you that I don't quite understand. John Daniel, do you hold the answer to a higher plan? So you want to be free, he said. Well, this is how you can. As he read from the Bible, he held in his hand. We were searching for the truth, not knowing where to look, not knowing that the answers all were in John Daniel's book.
That I don't quite understand.